of that hymn, this promise of healing. We begin this morning in the region between Samaria and Galilee, a no man's land, if you will, what one writer has called a land of no belonging. Neither inside nor outside Jewish territory, a region in which no one would choose to live, neither Jew nor Samaritan, because of the long-standing animosity between Jews who worshiped at Mount Zion in Jerusalem, the location of their temple, and Samaritans who worshiped at Mount Gerizim in Shechem, now located in the occupied territories on the West Bank, the location of their temple. Samaritans would avoid entering Jewish territory because of the rejection they would experience, and Jews would avoid traveling through Samaria, because they regarded Samaritans as unfaithful to Yahweh. If anyone lived there, it was because they had nowhere else to go, no home, nowhere where they belonged. As he travels with his disciples, Jesus travels through this land of no belonging as he moves from Galilee in the north to Jerusalem in the south. And he encounters a group of 10 men with leprosy. Why are they living in this no man's land? Well, because with anyone with any skin ailment, anyone afflicted with leprosy under Jewish law had to live outside the camp, away from the community, in isolation. Further, if anyone approached them, they were required to shout out, "Unclean! Unclean!" so that the people coming toward them would keep a safe distance from them. No doubt they chose to stay as far as possible from them. But these men see Jesus coming, and as a group, they cry out, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." Jesus tells them to go and show themselves to the priests, as Jewish law required. For a priest had to certify a healing so that they could be allowed back into the community. As they went, the text tells us, they were made clean. Notice the word. Not just healed of a physical ailment, but made whole. Life could begin again. But one of the 10 returns to Jesus and throws himself at Jesus' feet in thanksgiving and praise. And it's only at this point in the telling of this incident in Jesus' ministry that we learn that he is a Samaritan, a doubly despised outsider. He could not go to the Jewish priest, to the temple, because he would have been rejected there. I've been in that land of no belonging. It was at Boston State Hospital when I was a seminary student. Our coursework for clinical pastoral education involved a semester calling on a resident patient in the Boston State Hospital, one of the state mental hospitals in the state of Massachusetts at that time. The man I was assigned to see was on a locked ward with 30 other patients. The hospital attendant unlocked the door to the day room and admitted me. He escorted me to the man I was to visit over the next 16 weeks. Then he left and locked the door behind him. It was a land of no belonging. The identity of the men there was patient, mentally ill patient. They were locked away outside the camp in a land of no belonging, away from the community and away from family and away from normal life. Some were pacing the floor. Some were sitting quietly, isolated in their chairs. Some were talking to people who weren't there. Nowadays, that happens on the sidewalk when people are on their cell phones. Anyway, you understand what this was like. It was a spare room. There was a murmur of conversation and so on. And I learned that the man that I would be visiting was in his early 30s. He had been there for 15 years of his life at that point. And somehow, I was to be a pastoral, caring presence to him. For the work of the course was to begin to discover myself as a pastor and to reflect on the process of entering into his world and to enable him somehow through my presence to find a sense of the presence of God in that hospital ward. And during the course of that semester, he became my teacher and helped form me as a pastor. My dear friend and colleague, Reverend Gail Lewis, who was the preacher here in late August, always introduces a reading from the Gospels with the phrase, "The Gospel according to the memory of," and then adds the name of the Gospel, Matthew, Mark, Luke, or John, recognizing that the Gospel writers each are interpreting Jesus' life and ministry through their own reflection and their own experience and their own memory of him. In this case, the Gospel is the Gospel of Luke, the only Gentile author of a document in the New Testament, writing to Theophilus, a Gentile, a non-Jew, about the life and ministry of Jesus. And a theme throughout Luke's gospel and through his second volume, the book of Acts, as a matter of fact, is the ministry of Jesus and the power of the gospel in reaching outside the faith and the life of Israel. The Jesus who crossed the boundaries of tradition and belief into the Gentile world. In this particular passage, note that the one who recognizes God's grace through Jesus is the Samaritan, a foreigner, one other born, it could be translated, an outsider, someone outside the camp, actually doubly outside this camp. His cry for mercy had been heard, and his life restored, and he recognized the gift of mercy that he had received, and he returned to the one who had given him that gift. Reflecting on this passage, Dan Clendenin observes, "For Jesus, the election of the Jews to be a light to the nations did not mean the exclusion of Gentiles. The Jewish Jesus embraced the unclean Gentiles, the Roman centurion, the Canaanite woman and her demon-possessed daughter, the woman at the well that we read about in the fourth chapter of John's Gospel, the Good Samaritan. And here, this healing of men, 10 men with leprosy. And the one who returned thanks to Jesus was the one least expected to do so. And he asks, do we realize how subversive this is? How it challenges a world filled with barriers and division and places of no belonging? The only one who returned to give thanks to Jesus was the Samaritan, a foreigner who, even after his healing, is still the foreigner to the nine who were healed. Eric Barreto notes that the foreigner is a vital presence among us. The foreigner is a reminder of the pain of displacement many of us have felt. The foreigner is a reminder that God's promises know no boundaries or borders, that God's grace will not abide the arbitrary lines that we draw between one another. Are there people in our world who live in a land of no belonging? Are they living under a highway overpass somewhere? Or on a skid row, or on a rural back road someplace? Where are the millions of refugees in our world, many of them children? Are they not in places of no belonging, in camps along borders where many languish for years, not wanted, in places that could become home and unable to return to what had been home? The men with leprosy cried out to Jesus for mercy. Mercy. In reflecting on this passage, I turn to the reflections of Pope Francis in his book, The Name of God is Mercy, published earlier in this declared year of mercy. His thinking has been shaped by his years of ministry as a priest and a bishop in Latin America among the poor. For him, mercy is the first attribute of God. He writes, Jesus moves by a different kind of logic. At his own risk and danger, he goes up to the leper and he restores him. He heals him. In so doing, he shows us a new horizon, the logic of a God who is love, who desires the salvation of all. Jesus touched the leper and brought him back into the community. Jesus goes and heals and integrates the marginalized, the ones who are outside the city, the ones outside the encampment. In so doing, he shows us the way. Jesus does not remain indifferent. He feels compassion. He lets himself be involved and wounded by pain, by illness, by the poverty he encounters. He does not back away. And then he affirms this. God loves us with a visceral love, with compassion and mercy. Jesus does not look at reality from the outside without letting himself be moved as if he were taking a picture. He lets himself get involved. This kind of compassion is needed today to conquer the globalization of indifference. What a phrase, the globalization of indifference. This kind of regard is needed when we find ourselves in front of a poor person, an outcast, or a sinner. This is the compassion that nourishes the awareness that we, too, are sinners. Writing in Christian Century magazine, Debbie Thomas notes, "The tenth leper's response is gratitude. He sees that his truest belonging lies at Jesus' feet. He sees that Jesus' arms are wide enough to embrace all of who he is. Leper, foreigner, exile. The Samaritan returns to Jesus, falls at his feet, and gives thanks and praise to God. He receives his salvation, a wholeness that restores body, mind, and spirit. All gifts of God's mercy. Mercy that knows no bounds. For that gift, each one of us, we can truly give thanks. And because of that gift, we can be agents of mercy to those who live in a land of no belonging. Amen.
I want to tell you a story about a man named Martin.